Right, it's 11:45. We have Mr. Scott on the phone.
Yes, good morning.
Morning. I will call the meeting to order. First item is Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to welcome Carol Longer back to the commission. She signed up for another 3-year term. Just welcome you back, and I know you're a great asset to the commission, and you work hard for our interest in what we all have going. So thank you for agreeing to come back.
I feel like I'm back in the family now that I was
Oh, we missed you, sister.
Are there any changes or additions to the consent agenda? If not, is there a resolution to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Okay. First of all, we have that includes the minutes of January 10th and a review of the bills. I don't know, John, is there any bills you want to point out?
Thank you, Commissioner Kingley. Usually the first of the year, just as an FYI, I point out our power supply contracts and as our annual, we have some annual payments as well. I point those out. So on page...
Oh, thank you. So on page 4 would be the first one. It's WPPI. That's our WPPI contract. And it's a Wisconsin Public Power. It's our hydro contract. I believe 9 megawatts of power we receive through. So the next one would be the following page 5, Great River Energy. That's a standard energy and capacity agreement. That one is 22 megawatts, and that is on peak power. Off peak power is not included in our contract with GRE. So that's the second one. And then the other two are not on here. We have 4 total. The other two will be at our next meeting. So the two that are not on here this month yet that we'll have next month will be our hydropower through the federal government and then Missouri River for the month. And then the following page, towards the bottom, you see Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, $16,000. That's our water appropriation fee that we have to pay each year for the water that we pump out of the ground and supply the community. So with that, is there questions on any of the other?
Okay. No questions on the accounts payable?
What happened to the parking lot at Steinbeiser Auto?
That is...
Thank you, Commissioner John. That is a repair from a year ago with our underground cable, electrical cable, so we had to repair the street there.
Okay, if there's no further questions, I guess, Beth, you want to call the roll?
Certainly. Commissioner Lammer?
Aye.
Baumgard?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item number 5 on the agenda is the approval of the water rate study. This is going to be for water only. I guess, Ms. Johnson, do you have a on that?
Thank you. In December, we had sent out an RFP to have a rate study conducted on both our water and electric. Even though our electric is established through 2023, we, at the time, decided to pull them together as long as we're having it done. Since we sent out the RFP, the responses and questions have been surrounding time of use rates. We do not have that data. However, we will have the opportunity to collect 12 months worth of data if we do put off the rate study for the electric side until next year, 2023, as was originally planned. So with that said, both of the consultants that responded had split out the electric and the water in their proposal back to us. And so what we had sent it out to four consultants. We've had the two responses, Dave Berg Consulting and Missouri River Energy Services, and staff is recommending that we approve the water rate study only at this time with Dave Berg Consulting for the amount of $12,000.
Okay.
Any questions?
Questions? Mayor Muskie, did you have a question?
Move to approve staff's recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further questions on the motion to approve Dave Berg to do the work on our water study? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion will carry. We have.
I was just wondering if there needed to be a resolution with it. It was doing with money, but no. Later.
I will expand on that. The question is, we're spending money if it should be a resolution. The reason we have it set up for a motion here is this is not the contract. We're looking for the commission at this point in time to endorse staff's recommendation to proceed with water study only. So we'll be entering into that contract later. Thank you.
Is that clear, Sean?
Absolutely.
Okay, item six is an educational topic. To do with safety program and marketing. See, Chris.
Thank you, Chair DeBleek and the rest of the commission. Today I'm here to communicate about the year-end regarding energy services, the safety program, and the marketing program here at WMU. To start off with, on the second page, you'll see a graphic here of the 2021 Bright Energy Solutions Rebate Program. And this is the amount of energy that WMU has saved through our customers with our rebate program. You can see that on the right-hand side, this year we have 903,000 kilowatt hours saved, which is lower than last year, which was 1.4 million kilowatt hours saved. Part of that has to do with COVID. We couldn't go out to as many commercial locations because of the restrictions and things like that. And in addition to that, some of the larger entities had done some of their rebates already in 2020 and 2019. So there's a little bit of diminishing returns of how much we can actually do savings when some of the larger entities have already done them. So we're going to hopefully see a little bit more increase next year, but we're working on that in a couple slides I'll show you. On the next slide, you can actually see the dollars paid back to customers. So in 2020, on the right-hand side once again, you'll see that there was about $94,000 paid back to customers through our rebate program. And this year we had $77,000 paid back. Now this money is paid directly from MRES, and that is through the rebate program. So for example, WMU pays for being part of the MRES agency, and they will help us make that rebate program functional, but they pay the actual dollars back to the utilities for us to pay back to the customers.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is retrofit?
So like what I'm talking about, a retrofit is if you have lighting that's fluorescent lighting and then you change it to LED lighting, that's what I consider, or here is considered, a retrofit.
Got it. Thanks.
Yep. And you can see here that we have all of the dollars paid back based on the type of rebate. So we have an HVAC, residential HVAC, residential Energy Star. This is like an appliance. commercial and industrial HVAC, commercial and industrial refrigeration, commercial and industrial new construction, and then commercial and industrial retrofit. And of course, that retrofit, again, is that LED lighting switch out, which is the biggest bang for the buck for the customer, typically. Another big piece of the energy services on the next page, next slide, is the load share program. And in 2021, the load share, we had 26 load share events that occurred over 6 months. That happened from April to October, or May was the official one to October, for a total of 104 hours. Now, the load share events were successfully occurred on each month's consumption peak, with the exception of October, and that's absolutely important. The consumption peak is how the utility saves money through the load share program. So if we're able to cut roughly 1 megawatt of power during the peak day, that saves the utility quite a bit of money, and that's why we have the program in the first place. The load share, and this is an important piece that I'd like the commission to pay attention to, the load share failure rate in early 2021 was 63%. So there were some issues that we had with our software communicating with the devices out in the field, where 63% of the time those devices were not functioning as we needed them to. In mid-June, staff had communicated with the company Census to try to get some of these things figured out, and the average failure rate from mid-June to the end of the season in October was 7%. So there was a dramatic increase in efficiency with that program. This year, we had King's Electric installed nearly 400 LCMs, load controllers, on both residential and commercial units. 300 of those were on commercial units. Roughly 100 was on residential units. And that's partially because we get a bigger bang for our buck on commercial units because they're larger, they're consuming more electricity, so putting them on commercials, we get a little bit faster payback. In 2021, the projected capital spending was $573,000 for the load share program. The actual spending was $44,790, which was basically installation through King's Electric. Staff currently is waiting to purchase additional LCM units until the latest census model comes out. And in the last point, you'll see that in 2022, quarter one, these LCM models are now available, and staff is planning to look at purchasing them for the upcoming year. Finally, with energy services, we have the goals in mind for 2022. The first one is load control module replacement and installation projects, specifically focused on our commercial units or commercial accounts. The second goal that we have is to implement the key account program in 2021. We have been working on developing a key account program. We have that kind of idea of what we want. In 2022, we hope to implement that with our key accounts. Number three is to communicate with small businesses to continue to encourage lighting and other applicable rebates and savings. And finally, to increase awareness of the rebate program through customer outreach, whether it's at events or online or whatever way, so that residential customers know what's available for rebates. So that's the end of my energy services portion. Does anyone have a question about any of that information?
I do.
Okay.
How are you communicating with the small businesses?
So that's a great question, Commissioner Johnson. What we're trying to do, some of it is word of mouth. So for example, we're trying to communicate with as many electricians as possible to let them know of the program so that when they are planning or some of these customers come to them saying we want to do a change out of lights, the electricians already know to involve us or bring in the utilities. But one other way is that I will actively communicate with some of, do call outs to some of these smaller businesses and say, we have this rebate program, is this something that you're interested in doing, and seeing if they are. Because WME provides a walkthrough where we will assess what energy they have in their lighting and what they would get as a rebate and energy dollar saved per month after we do that assessment.
Good. Maybe you could also put something on Facebook. I saw you've been promoting your scholarship program, and you know, that might be something you could do, too.
Absolutely, yeah. And we've done a little bit of that, but we're planning to continue that in the upcoming year.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep. Are there any other questions about energy services?
I have a question about the software patch upgrade.
Sure.
So is that going to be was that a one-time off kind of thing? Or is that going to be, is that upgrade going to be upgraded yearly so that's not missed kind of thing?
That's a great question, Commissioner Bonta. I'd love to say it's a one-time thing, but with our experience with Census, it typically isn't. We have an upgrade coming up very soon, this upcoming month, but because of the issues we faced last year, staff is already prepared to do a couple practice sessions with our units to make sure that in the springtime, when we don't need to use it, we are getting all the kinks kind of worked out before the summertime happens.
Okay.
So I don't know, I can't say that it's going to go 100%, but I do know that we'll prepare for checking if there's an issue sooner than last year.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. All right, moving on ahead to safety. This is slide number 6. The 2021 safety statistics, you can see in 2021, we had 2 near-miss reports. We had 4 first reports of injury that didn't seek out medical treatment. And we had 0 days of lost time. One thing I just want to make sure that the commission is very aware of, we are very proactive in our staff. If anything happens, to document it right away, so that if case there are issues a week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks down the road, that we have all the documentation ready to go for any possible issue. So we're being very, very proactive. If anything occurs and staff knows it, that's what they should be doing. In 2022, our safety goals are another year of 0 lost time due to injuries, 0 housekeeping issues in the yearly safety walkthrough inspection. So last year, we had our safety walkthrough in October, and we had a handful of issues that were dealt with, and we're hopeful that in this upcoming year, in October, when we do the walkthrough, we will have no housekeeping issues that we have to adjust or change. And then the last thing that our goal is for 100% of training completion within 30 days of the training date. And what I mean by that is, for example, in January we have a training. Maybe not all staff are able to go there, but we record it. And what we hope is that before 30 days, we will be able to have that staff member watch the video, sign their certification that they saw it, and have that completed. Are there any questions about safety goals or safety in general for WMU?
Good job.
Yeah. We're doing good. And the last thing is the marketing outreach. In 2021, on slide 8, in 2021, staff participated in bi-monthly chamber connection meetings, meaning that we're going out to participate in chamber meetings to communicate about rebates, to communicate about, for example, last year in December January with the issues in Texas, about water restrictions. So there was a lot of opportunity to communicate with the local businesses in the area. And in October, WMU hosted the event here for the first time in a very long time. And it was really nice and went very well. We've also had an informational booth at the KWM Spring Show, where we focused on a plug-in hybrid for people to kind of see it, figure out how to use it, and the application and uses for that. We also talked about energy savings and water conservation as well. Again, we've continued the WMU MMUA scholarship program, which Commissioner Johnson said that she saw, and we're still sending out information to the community about that. We've continued our communication through social media. We've done energy and water conservation booths at the Wilmer Block Party, at the National Night Out, and we had a very special program this year with the CERTS-sponsored conservation education event at the Northwest Regency of Minnesota Park. The Northwest Regency Park is the mobile home park in the northwest side of town, and we had a booth out there for one day where we had CERTS, the University of Minnesota, Head Start, the community center, the wastewater facilities, and us, talking to the public in that park about water conservation, about electric conservation, about what to put and not to put down their toilets, and some other information. It was a great success. We had two translators there, a Spanish translator and a Karen's translator, and had about 40-some families come by, stop by, and talk to us, and it was a really great event and a lot of fun. And the last thing that we have on here is the Touch a Truck event at the and participation in the Holidays Parade. So still trying to get WMU's kind of name out there as much as we can as a community participant and doing all things WMU that we can. I have two more slides for you.
I just want to say that was a good. I think that's a good idea that you went out to the park instead of, you know, them coming to you to go out to them. That oftentimes, especially with some of the immigrants in our community and stuff, that was a good.
Yeah, idea. And we were actually very fortunate with the Regency Park that they helped organize the translators because I know that if we didn't have the translators available, we would have had quite a few fewer people being able to participate because there are some non-English speakers in that area as well. So that was great. And we're planning to do that on the Northwest Park next year and in the Northeast Park next year as well. So continuing that great program. The marketing, social media, and website. This is just some numbers information that all of you can kind of see and understand how many people online are communicating or following us. The first one is Facebook posts that are used bi-monthly for important WMU posts. This year we have 592 followers on Facebook, which is up from 413 last year, so it's almost 200. The largest interactions from the public was a post regarding water restrictions that took place in June. That was, I think, was interesting for a lot of people, and part of the reason that that was our largest post was we had other government agencies, the City of WMU, help share and promote that post. It had 9,598 scroll views, so people kind of taking a look at it, and 1,881 engagements. That includes comments, likes, and shares. Some of the comments were positive, some of them were not positive, but that was kind of the situation that we were in June when we were dealing with the drought that took place. And then with website activity, we had 29,000 sessions. That's like active engagement, clicking on a button or a tab on our website. This is up 3.6% from last year. We had 14,000 new users in 2021, which basically is like a new tablet, a new phone, or a new IP address that goes to our website. And this year we had a bounce rate of 45%, almost 46%. A bounce rate is basically when you type in an address or you go to an address, but you don't do anything on that web page. So for example, maybe they were looking for City of WMU and put in municipal utilities or something like that. They went to our address and they said, oh, this is not where I want to be, so they go off of it. So we had a pretty high bounce rate this year. And the length of page view remained at about 2 minutes. So those are some numbers for you to kind of see what's going on in the website activity. The final slide and page that I have for you is the 2022 marketing goals. So what we'd like to do for 2022 is complete a welcome packet for our new customers. We want to develop and continue to post unique WMU-focused ads on social media. We are working with MRES and WMU schools to continue the fifth grade education, electric education program, which we think is very valuable and important. And then finally, the last big thing that we're really trying to do is search for and participate in community interactive events and opportunities. Continually going out, trying to communicate with not only things at WMU Fest, but trying to get to other populations that may not attend that, or things like that. So with that, that's all the information I have for you guys today. I know that's a lot, but if you have any questions, please feel free.
This fifth grade electric education program, is that the program MRIS has put together?
That's exactly right.
Just using it?
That's right. So what that is basically a 4-week program that the syllabus is already set up for teachers to use in their science classes, and each child will get a kit that has some things that talk about energy conservation and things like that. And we buy them with MRES. They pay 50% of it for each child in fifth grade. So right now we have, I think, close to 700 or 800 total kits that we're going to be purchasing for all of the city of Wilmer, including the community Christian school and some homeschool students in the area as well.
Very good. Okay. More questions of Chris? Anybody have a question?
That program does make a difference. I know my grandson is in fifth grade. I had water running, and he said, "Oma, you need to shut that water off. You're wasting water."
That's cool.
Well, thank you very much. Unless there's any other questions,
well, thank you for everything you do, and
yep,
and keep it. Thanks for the update.
You bet,
Chris. Zach, I see you. Zach Abdulis decided to to move on with his certain issues in his personal life is requiring to leave the commission. I know he's going to be greatly missed. He's been a real asset to the commission. The time he's been on, I think he came on in 2015.
Oh.
So, very, very impressed, and I know you're going to be missed on the commission. Maybe you could be like Carol and come back. very appreciative of the work that you've done. With that, we do have a...
Oh, great.
Thank you very much.
Presentation.
There's an appreciation to Zach Mabu for outstanding and dedicated service 2015-2022 Wilmer Municipal Utilities.
Thank you.
Here. I think he wants a picture.
Yeah, I've got to get a couple here.
Okay. Right here. That's great. Good job, guys. Okay.
Zach, has anyone told you, you have to find your replacement, otherwise you
Well, I have, a couple of individuals if you're interested that I can share the names with you.
You know, definitely.
Yeah, good. Great. Thank you.
All right. Down to item 8 on the agenda is... We had tabled committee appointments at the last meeting. So the motion to take that off the table.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of taking it off the table, say aye.
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 Motion to carry. Okay. After had some discussions with most of you, and the recommendation that I have is Labor Committee would be vacant, and Commissioner Johnson had indicated she would like to move to the Labor Committee, and Baumgart would also continue in the Labor Committee. Planning Committee then would be Commissioner Muskie, Commissioner Erickson, and Commissioner Lamar. I guess any questions or discussion on the recommendation?
I don't think so.
I think kind of move some around. We're using a lot of our expertise where that make a difference, and there's a lot of things happening the next year with both planning and labor. So
Commissioner DeBleek, Do you want to expand on your role or typically the chair's role on these committees?
I would say the chair's role is going to be any vacant seats on the commission. I would, any one of the committees, that's where I would fill in, so. Is there a motion to approve that recommendation?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor, say aye.
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 All right. Motion will carry. Thank you. We have the, it's over to our general manager. We have the MRES minutes and recap, and that's a video.
Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. I have Mike start up our video, and if there's any additional questions upon completion of the video, I'd be more than happy.
Welcome to our board report for the December meeting of the Missouri River Energy Services and Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency Boards of Directors. This is Member Services Representative Julie Peck. We'd like to start this report by wishing you and yours happy holidays from all of us here at Missouri River. It has been our privilege to work alongside each of our members throughout the year, providing power and other essential services to your communities. The board kicked off the meeting by reviewing the upcoming schedule of strategic business issues. This schedule lays out a timetable of when the board anticipates it will consider or make decisions in the areas of Missouri River policy, power supply and model power, transmission, fiscal stability, legislative and regulatory issues, people, and member services. Next, the board voted to continue deferring the $42 million of income generated during last February's polar vortex. The goal means the income received from the polar vortex will not be included in this year's financial statements because disputes filed with the Southwest Power Pool and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission have not been settled yet. And Missouri River's net surplus is higher than budget for 2021, so we are in a financially stable position. The board then authorized execution of an agreement with Missouri River Member Atlantic Municipal Utilities in Atlantic, Iowa, to purchase surplus capacity from its local generator. The agreement will help reduce Missouri River's projected long-term capacity deficit in the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO. The structure of the agreement will be similar to the reserve capacity agreements Missouri River currently has in place with 19 other members. The board also received an update on the evaluation of disaster recovery strategies to meet certain requirements outlined in Missouri River's business continuity plan. Three potential disaster recovery solutions were identified. Those include a Missouri River hosted co-location, a vendor hosted co-location, or subscribing to disaster recovery as a service from a third-party vendor. Missouri River staff will determine if Missouri River hosted co-location solution is feasible by the end of February 2022. In preparation for the upcoming APPA legislative rally, the boards reviewed draft position papers on four topics. One, regulatory certainty needed on carbon emissions. Two, massive transmission needed for the nation's future and reliability. Three, Gregory County Pump Storage Project. And four, protecting the federal power program, specifically WAPA. The position papers will be finalized and approved during the January board meeting. Next, the board approved a second amendment to the Grid and Board Partners Participation Agreement. Missouri River, along with nine other regional utilities, is party to the CapEx 2020 Transmission Capacity Expansion Initiative. The CapEx 2020 group recently changed their name to Grid and Board Partners. The amendment extends the term to December 31st, 2022, as all parties try to negotiate a new participation agreement. To close the meeting, the board approved the Member Technology Committee's recommendation to provide cybersecurity services to the membership based on the results of a pilot project Missouri River conducted with three members. More information on Missouri River's robust cybersecurity service will soon be sent to members. Look for articles on this service, as well as all the other services available to members in upcoming issues of Missouri River's newsletter, MRES Today. That wraps up our recap for the December board meetings. We wish you a happy and prosperous new year, and remember to join us again next month for our report for the January 2022 board meeting.
Okay, anything further on that? Or questions on the video? Okay. Do you have any further comments on that, John?
Thank you, Commissioner DeBlee. No, I do not.
Okay. Move on to General Manager's report.
Thank you, Commissioner DeBlee. The first item on there is our water main MOA that we approved at our last commission meeting. City Council approved it at their meeting last week, Monday, so that is complete. So the MOA, they adopted it as we have, no additional amendments or changes to it or requests. So that's done. So looking forward to that. I think that's a good change. The city will take care of the streets on our water main breaks, and we're responsible for the fire hydrants versus the city being responsible for maintenance of the fire hydrants. In addition to that, the Labor Committee, Planning Committee, committees were established here today. So you can see some of the upcoming items that we have coming up for those committees to vet all the staff here. So, with that said, we got MMUA Legislative Conference, February 8th and 9th. We were informed here this morning that that is going virtual instead of in person. And on Friday on our legislative call with MMUA, there's also some document that APPA is also looking at possibly a virtual meeting as well. So the meeting that's listed here on February 28th, 1-2nd, at this time, it's potential that that could get changed to virtual. So other than that, any questions?
Just a question, if for the virtual meeting that they're going to have, will you be hosting or having it online here or just individually? Or
we can do whatever would be the preference of the commission. More commissioners might be able to or want to attend, but yeah, we can set it up here and have it up on the screen, and we can take part in that together if that's the preference. So
well, if it works out for any of them, I know it does for me, because then sometimes I have questions right at that time, and then you're handy to answer them for greater understanding.
Yeah, no, from my perspective, I'd welcome that, because you're absolutely right, Commissioner Lomer. If we take it in, you know, and hear together, it gives opportunity to talk about different topics as they come up and how they directly apply to Wilmer Municipal Utilities. So yeah, let us know, reach out to Beth, and let us know if your preference is to take part here at the office, and we'll make sure we have the room available. Tentatively, the way it looks now, we do not have dates. Well, we do have a date, we have a time. We had that set up. Beth had that set up already last week with Senator Lang, Representative Baker, talked about our areas of concern and interest with the upcoming legislative session, in addition to visiting with them about our water treatment plan. So it's not part of the electric side, but I would take advantage of that as well. And right now, depending on their schedules, but we do have it set up at 3:30. I'm Beth.
3 o'clock.
Okay. On the 8th at 3 o'clock. So in the morning, we would get our update, legislative update, virtual. They're still holding the schedule. So in the afternoon, we would always go up to the Hill. So instead, that window of time will be allowed for us to do it virtually if we can get meetings set up. And then the next morning, then we'll wrap up the conference with additional speakers. So
it would be a 2-day event if we came here?
Correct. It would be in the morning. There would be sessions and update, legislative updates in the afternoon. Then would be the visit. So the afternoon, as best noted, we have 3 o'clock till 3 to 3:30. We would then visit, hopefully be able to visit with Baker and Lang. And that would be it for the day. And then the next morning, I'm not sure, we start again at 8:30 maybe. 8:30 to noon, something like that, is the second day.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, I believe at this time we have Commissioner DeBleek and Commissioner Lamar signed up, and myself. So if we host it here, anybody that has time or would want to sit down at all or part of it, you're more than welcome to come. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I guess what the question would be about posting it for a public meeting.
Commissioner DeBleek, yes, if we do have more than 3, we would have to post. So, yeah. So
I'll probably come in the afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. I think maybe we'll post just out of caution so that we do have 4 more that we're okay. All right. We will do that. Thank you.
One thing about a virtual meeting, it's good to get information without having to travel to St. Paul.
Yeah.
So. Any more questions to come before the commission? Not motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We're adjourned.